Thank you for downloading this episode of the Dad Podcast. You want to help support the show? Tell your friends. Get the word out. Facebook, Twitter, smoke signals. Maybe even take out a Craigslist personal. Whatever you gotta do. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. Wow, real life radio, off-air conversations bleeding in as we fade in the music. Life is exciting. There's craziness happening. Family members are all over the place. Yeah, if your friend needs to come over and chill, that's totally fine
all
by
right,
me.
What
did I say? Oh, with me as always is the one, the only Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley.
How are you, Paco?
Hey, that's you, buddy. How are you?
I'm fine. This has been a flurry of activity the last
few
minutes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Daddy was running late. Daddy's got a job. I don't know if you've... word on the street is that jobs occupy time. That is what I have learned. To be honest with you, unbelievably excited. Yesterday was my first full day as trying out to be the board op for the Bill Handel Show on KFI AM 640.
Cool.
So I will be doing that. If you want to listen, it's 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. The most likely hours that you will hear me. I'm more like Paco on this show. I'm an even lighter version of Paco.
How dare you?
I'm like the fourth banana on this show.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I mentioned it's a weird.
That's weird because I'm the third banana. I don't know quite how that worked, but I never quite made it up to number two.
You got demoted. Listen, yeah, I know people around here. I could get you bumped up to second banana.
Oh, great.
You know what?
Great.
I'm going to go first banana. Right? Because I feel
there
like
you go.
It's like homecoming queen or Miss USA, right? It's
sure.
First runner-up.
There you go.
There's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, banana was...
If the banana is not able to complete its duties, I can step in.
Yes, you step in. And I think there are no backup bananas for you.
No.
You know what I mean?
There aren't.
So you're just, you're the banana, I think, is how it goes down. But anyway, so you can hear me probably 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific time. I'm on the wake-up call with Gary Hoffman, who's a very funny guy, really nice guy. And then they do Handle the News from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. Pacific, and that's where I can usually chime in. All of the little music interstitials and stuff that you hear, that's all Daddy's work.
Cool.
The bumpers usually that we come back from the breaks, that's me. I run all that stuff. And then he does usually his own show in the meat of the thing where he's kind of by himself and solo, very little of us weighing in.
Right,
and then in the 9 o'clock hour, we do another Handle on the News late edition. And today, so yesterday I was really nervous. I'm going to get all this off my chest and get it out there because everybody's very kind. I got a lot of really, a lot of nice words on Facebook and everything. It's a weird thing.
Oh, that's nice. Well-wishers.
I put out there and I said, you know, hey, if you want to tune in, and everybody was like, oh, congrats and all that stuff. And anyway, so it was great, except yesterday, you know how you get trained for a job and then you kind of get thrown in there a little bit? Well, there was no real training. I got to watch another guy do the job for 2 days.
Yeah.
And then I had to jump in and do it. And there's no better teacher than doing it. And I have never.
That's not like you're filing. That's something serious. They have you doing something serious.
Very serious.
With very little training or experience.
And intense focus. Intense amounts of focus.
Right.
And all I'm saying is I'm glad that if we had recorded this show yesterday, on Monday, instead of the Tuesday we're recording it, it would be very likely that we would have another show that would never be heard. Because yesterday I came home from work, Daddy was no bueno. This is where I'm going to tie this back to parenting, is that never before, I've talked about, Jacob is a worrier. He's a lot like I was when I was a kid. I overthought things a lot, and maybe I still do this now, I don't know, but he gets very anxious about things very easily. And I was talking to him because he was already anxious about going to school. You know, everybody's back to school. That's
awesome. Yeah, of course.
And so anyway, he was like, oh, you know, I'm worried about the class. And I said, let me tell you something. When your dad was younger, I worried all the time, too. And as I got older, I had to overcome my fears. I said, so you're already going to be 7, and you're already doing a bang-up job. Like, you got the bike thing going. He taught himself.
He's got the worried thing down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He taught himself basically to swim in the little pool that we have here the other day. Like, he just started doing it.
I nearly jumped in there. That looks delightful.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, not quite the swamp it was.
Yeah, I put it in the shade. Lots of leaves fell in it. It swamped up. So I said, screw the California drought.
Sure.
I will fill up this pool twice.
Excellent.
The reason for the drought. So anyway, we did that. So it was cool, and I'm babbling around a lot because I got a lot of energy and I'm excited, but my point is that I was talking him down, and I said, you know, and then I told him, I said, Dad's going into work tomorrow for the first time in this job. I go, there's a lot at stake. I've got like all these things I got to do, and it's lots of stuff moving at a fast pace. It's a very weird situation where 30 seconds feels like a long time in life. That's how things operate there. And I said to him, I go, imagine if I was worried about everything that could go wrong, I would freak out. And lo and behold, that moment arrived. I got there at 5 a.m., and the board op who did the overnight shift was like, so you ready? I said, yep. And he hit the button to fire into the top of the hour legal ID. And if I had anything in my bowels, it would have immediately been evacuated
right
there on the – like, I have never felt this way in my entire life. My whole body became hot.
Yes.
My face became flush, I'm sure.
Yeah.
These people who have no idea who I am, they've seen me around, but nobody there knows me.
Right.
And they're just looking at this guy who's essentially like, I'm not a head honcho, but I am at the helm. Like, if the guy who does my job falls over, a lot of stuff stops, and it's not like they have another one waiting in the wings that they just go tap on the shoulder, and then that person comes in and does
it. In fact, you were possibly that guy.
Yes.
Yes.
And so there's, you know, it's a very weird thing. And so I'm like, and I had to tell myself the same thing I kept telling my kid. Like, I was like, breathe. It's not that big a deal. Nothing is going to go wrong. Because I just, the automation didn't make sense to me. There was something different than what I was used to seeing.
Of course.
Because this is boring to people listening.
No, it's fine.
The context of it, I don't think is. But that, and so what happened was I just calmed myself down a little bit, but I just had to focus. And there's a sports girl who does the sports there to handle. That's why she's called a sports girl, you dumb son of a bitch. I'm a broadcast professional. And / internet
celebrity.
Well,
you pick up these phrases when you work in the industry.
You pick up I don't mean to talk above your head, Parker.
Okay, thanks for explaining.
Sometimes I really wish I was that guy without like no humor in it at all. Like, listen, you know, just to be completely schmaltzy. But anyway,
somebody says, "Let it out, Justin." That's what we're here for,
right?
on the chat.
I appreciate you guys immensely. But the thing is, I and this is why I'm telling all this, not because I'm sharing my experiences with my part-time job, because I know that's not what this show is about. I'm sharing it because something kind of interesting happened. So I'm doing the job, and I told I told the story about how the computer didn't fire one of the bumpers. I think I told that on the show. But anyway, there's a profile that everybody gets their own profile on this massive board that is like 4 feet long by 3 feet deep, okay?
Yeah.
And I cycled it to the morning show profile. I hit take, and then everything goes click, 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 click. It looks like the Enigma machine from the Theory of Everything movie. Well, no, the Imagination Game, right?
Do you have to be gay to run that board?
Yes.
Or? Oh, wow.
Yes.
This does take dedication.
Listen, I really want this job to be full-time. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm tired of this half-half. Give me the full. Only dirty people get that. So it goes click, 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 click. And then so I checked when I got there, I'd already played like a bumper from the computer. A bumper is like whenever you're coming back from a commercial, they like to have a song that plays that leads you into it.
Sure.
And they, of course, they have 18 bumpers in the system, but of course those get played all the time. So the people who work there all the time are tired of hearing those bumpers. So when you're the new guy, there's pressure to have your own. They want you to play freaking wedding DJ
right,
in the morning,
right.
Which I'm more than happy to do. And so I'm sitting there, and I've got this idea for a bumper, and then I start to play it, and it's playing on the computer, but it's not going out again. And I'm like, why isn't it playing? And so it's just dead air happening. So I go, and then the news guy is in the room for this part of the show with me. He goes, he just looks at me and goes, like, kind of, I wish I could help you, but smiles because he sees me being just going down in a blaze of glory. Like
right.
And he goes, 521. I'll never forget that because he's just in the microphone, just smiling at me and goes, it's 521. Like, this is all I can do to help you. And then it was at that moment I realized, I went, oh, and I hit a button. He goes, well, then play it now. Like, so I played it. It was horrible. And they were making fun of me, which was fine. All was well and good. But then there was some other stuff that I felt like I was just really trying to just keep up with the show. And at one point, the sports girl, they're all very nice. She goes, so how you doing? You doing okay? I said, yeah, I'm feeling much better. You know what I mean? She goes, well, the key is to not get stressed. That's all you have to worry about. And I go, oh, I'm not stressed. She goes, you were a little stressed this morning. And it's just one of those moments where you feel like you're, like, I'm putting out there calm, cool, and collected in some, you know what I mean? Just because I wasn't talking. But in actuality, they go, oh, my God, this guy's about to shit himself.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so I leave work that day. And I cut promos and everything. I come home, and the Jacob's first day of school, Natalie had the day off, so we went out to lunch. And
oh, cool.
I was talking with her, but I was still in my head about the day, and I'm not really engaging with my family because I'm really thinking about this job, and I'm like, oh, geez. And then all of a sudden, Natalie got me. We went out to dinner to take Jacob out for his first day because we're those people, I guess. You celebrate every fucking thing in the world
that.
When you have kids.
Yeah.
So we're out at Outback because that's how the Warshams celebrate. And we're sitting there, and Natalie goes, I apologize because I realize that I'm way in my head, and I'm just constantly thinking about – it's one of those things where I'm like, I just want to get in there and do it again so I could do it the way I know I can do it.
Right, right.
And Natalie goes – she goes, you got to stop worrying about it. She goes, what would you say to this guy? And pointed to Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And I, damn it, I've never had this happen in my entire life. I go, you're going to make me cry. And I did a fish face.
Yeah.
I did a fish face to try and hold it together in an Outback Steakhouse in Burbank, California. And I'm just looking up at the ceiling. And then my poor son looks at me and goes, what's wrong with that?
He's having a stroke.
Exactly. And then she goes, Dad's fine. He's okay. And she goes, well, then why is he going to cry? Like, and I said, I'm sorry. We'd leave the restaurant. She goes, I'm sorry. I don't care if the kids see me cry. They've seen me cry before. I'm not hard up about emotion. It's just that it for whatever reason, it hit me really hard. And so I had to rein it in. Otherwise, I probably would have been sobbing like a baby in there. That was the only reason. I cried every movie I've ever seen.
Sure.
Like I said, I cried at Blue Steel. I cried at Iron Man 2.
But those are very well justified to cry.
Right. They're incomparable films, I believe.
Yes, and, they are. I saw that Real Steel with Chad.
Yeah?
Yeah, we sat in the back row. We had a great time.
Did you cry?
I don't think I cried.
Probably not. Yeah, you're dead inside.
Who knows?
No. So I finally...
I cry at Outback Steakhouse commercials. You're actually there doing it. I can't even get off the couch.
I'm in there, man. I'm in the trenches living it up. I will get an Outback special. And so anyway... Oh, that's funny. I've worked in... I don't know if it was here... but somebody says hashtag nailed it. Jessica just said that in the chat room. And it's become my thing on the show where I go, nailed it.
Right.
And so today was very different. Today I decided, I grew up, as weird as it sounds, as an adult. And I just said, I'm going to go in and I'm going to do what I think I should be doing. And if they don't like that, that's fine.
Damn the FCC.
Damn the FCC. So I'm like, fuck this. Oh, fuckity fuck, fuck, fuck. I'm pissing off nurses everywhere. And
deep pull.
So anyway, if you're listening to this episode for the first time, go back one or two, at least maybe four. Skip ahead a couple if you're depending on where they are.
I see. Okay.
And so anyway, so I talked it over with Natalie, and then I kind of got it off my chest, and I went in today, and I did, and I, to be honest, I really think I nailed it. Nailed it. There was a moment, though, that I got a little nervous where I made a stupid, stupid joke, which is, I think, fine for this show and especially for my position. I still am playing this kind of like suck up kind of guy.
How does that work?
Huh?
I said, how does that work?
What do you mean? How do I play a suck up?
No, I mean,
tune in from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m.
I wouldn't have any idea how to sit there and just suck it up.
No, not suck it up as in get it together. I'm saying a suck up, like an ass kisser.
I know. Like, never mind.
Well, listen, if you're kissing my ass, then you need to pucker up a little bit harder because I'm not feeling the love.
Sir, yes, sir.
But at one point they were talking about some political thing, and it's always weird because I'm not very political. I don't know a lot about the stuff. So yeah. I try to find ways of, in case there's somebody who's listening who's like me and isn't very political, something that they would find entertaining. So today he was comparing some candidate to, he makes so-and-so look like a fascist. He's so communist or something is what he said. Right. He goes, he wants there to be a czar of something. And Gary, the news guy, goes, does he want that czar with a C or a Z? And he goes, I don't think it matters. And so I chose that moment to weigh in. I go, no, it's got to be a Z. If you're going to do it, you might as well go full-blown Russian on that czar. And then Handel kind of looks at me, and he looks at Gary, the news guy, and he goes, really? And Gary said something. I can't remember because and then I go, you go, how did I say it? I go, you go Z or you go home. That's what my grandfather always told me.
Right.
And Handel gave me this look, and he kind of took a pause for a moment. He goes, you know, Justin, you're taking a lot of risk here.
Yeah.
And I wish I could say that I stared at that grown man and looked at him and go, yeah, I got it. But to be honest, it made my butthole pucker a little bit. Like, oh, shit.
Right.
Did I cross the line? So we'll see. But I'm walking out of there feeling over the moon and excited. And I just thought it was interesting that I, weirdly enough, needed to take my own parental advice. Now what that sounds like, I'm so good as a father, I even father myself. I'm even picking up for the slack of my own father by fathering myself through a mirror.
Now, as we are the Dad Podcast, you told that whole story. The early part of it was your son was having some nervousness about going to school, and then realized you also had nervousness. We never heard how you explained anything to him. It just cut to the next day with you. And then then you told us the part about the restaurant, and we never heard what you said
to him. I apologize.
I mean, if this part of your life is off limits,
I don't want to let anybody in. I am a closed door. What I told him was, I told him how when I was a kid, I worried a lot, and that I wouldn't go on roller coasters. And I tried to bring it back to saying, the things that he used to be afraid of, that he's not, that's what I meant.
Sure.
And I didn't finish the thought of the pool. Like, he used to be kind of really nervous being in the water. Like, if the water got above his sternum, he would kind of freak out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, now you just dive underwater and you're holding your breath, swimming across the pool. And within minutes, he was doing like dead man floats and like teaching himself to do that. And I didn't really have to do it. I just kind of, I gave him little tips and he listened and it worked out. And so I tried to do that to say that these things, because I get it. I get what he feels because I've been there and I've had that petrifying fear and what I've had to learn. And obviously I haven't learned it. I kind of thought I had until 5 a.m. yesterday.
Right.
But is that I tell him, I say that, the biggest, if there's one thing you figure out in life, it has to be this overcoming your fear. You have to figure out a way of getting around the things that you're afraid of, because if you don't do that, you spend the rest of your life nervous and petrified.
Yeah.
And that's no way to live, in my opinion. So I told him that, and I think he kind of got it. And I said, here's what's going to happen. I go, if your brain is going to be nervous and scared, right?
Yeah.
I said, but just tell yourself, there's nothing to be afraid of. Everything is going to be fine. I got this. I said, you just got to learn to kind of tell yourself. And if you feel your chest like getting tense, because I have that stuff too when I was a kid, I go, just start taking deep breaths and just keep telling yourself everything is going to be cool.
Right.
And I go, trust me, tomorrow I'm going to pick you up and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, first grade was awesome. So sure enough, Natalie and I picked him up. First words out of his mouth, he came out and he goes, first grade is great! Like, he yells at us. I go, see, I told you.
He said, no, that's not the line. Back to one.
Back.
Try it again.
I said, awesome, you little shit.
On action.
I just started wailing on him in front of all the other parents there. So,
this is what you should be afraid of, you said.
Yeah.
And then you commenced to beat
me.
Him.
Yeah. Be always afraid of me. You know why you're safe at school? Because I'm not there, you son of a bitch. Destroyed your mothers in my life. And then at the restaurant, it was the same kind of thing where I kind of told him, I said, he goes, well, he asked me why I was upset. And I said, I'm really worried about this job. And I said, what your mom pointed out is that I need to do what I was telling you to do about school. I go, I need to let it go.
Right.
And I got nervous and it messed me up a little bit this morning.
Yeah.
And I said, so I just, dad's in his head thinking about how can I get back in there and do it better.
And just to recap on today at work, that went well then. It was much better for you.
Could not have gone better, I don't think. I mean, I really, there was a couple moments that I really got Handel to laugh. And he said something. So I was doing this nailed it thing. I hope these stories are interesting. If they're not, I'm sorry. Just know that one day I will be very jaded about this too. But it is honestly a really exciting thing for me. And I apologize to be self-indulgent for this moment here.
Just
or for
to,
always.
To give you some perspective,
yeah.
This isn't endless stories about the road and how you hate it. So yeah. If they stuck through all of that,
that's true.
This might be a blessed relief.
I'm a piece of shit. There was a moment where I was doing that nailed it thing throughout the whole show, and then Handel said something that was really offensive, like talking about somebody who had done something horrible to a child.
Yes.
And he likes to make people feel uncomfortable. Like is his very hat. He's even more. He's like, I get a little bit of that of like wanting to be inappropriate and watching people squirm, but he does it at like an uber level. And I don't know if it's because he's older than me.
Right. He's a Jedi master.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, he is. He is the Yoda of this stuff. And just to, it makes me laugh. So I wish people could see his face
during
the show.
He's an old Jew, a wrinkled old Jew.
He's not, he doesn't look old, but he is a Jew.
Okay.
And what's great, and he's a lawyer, just to add to his cold, dark heartedness. And I love it. I honestly love the guy, and I think he's great. Because to be able to see the smirk and joy on his face come over when he does something that's just really right at the line, and watch everybody squirm and how happy that makes him, really is enjoyable for me to watch from this little aquarium that I get to see him through from the control room. And he was saying something, and there was a moment where he's just kind of wallowing in it, but there's silence on the air, so I turned my mic on, and I went, nailed it. Like I had to say something, but it was questionable. And I was very, it was very nice. Gary, who I would like to have on the show as a guest. Gary has a couple teenage kids and is a very funny guy, very funny dad. Has some great story. His kids, freaking hilarious. He just told a story this week that his daughter turned, but anyway, Gary told me, he goes, my favorite line of the show today.
Yeah.
Nailed it. And Gary told this great story. If you want to go back and listen to the podcast, it's Monday. Wake Up Call with Gary Hoffman, 2 N's. And you can find it on iTunes. And it's at the end of the show, the last break or whatever. So I think it's only like a 30-minute podcast. And then you can listen to the last 10 minutes. His daughter turned 13. And he's going to do this much better. He's got a little music with it and everything.
Right.
But to give you the gist of it, his daughter turned 13. And she has an older brother who's 15. Last week he was talking about his life is over because his son is now driving. He's got a learner's permit. And then now he's talking. And then he says, then he said it again the next day or because it was his daughter's birthday. He goes, so now I have two teenagers. So I need to run. I need to hide. And he said that his son, for his daughter's birthday, gave her a note and a card. And it basically said, you're 13 now. I know it's kind of gross and things are happening. But just to give you a heads up, mom or dad are going to give you the talk. At some point tonight, it's usually one or both of them. And then every so often, they're just going to come and check in with you and ask you if you have any questions. He goes, here's some advice from an older brother. Don't ask any questions. Nod a lot. And do not answer any questions.
That's great.
Yeah, I would definitely love to have him on the show because I think he has one of those families that we would all like to live in. It seems very sitcom-esque, if you would.
Well, I had a a very different experience with sending Diego off to his senior.
Oh, yes. The first day of his last year.
Yes, exactly. And I came in and he was all, cleaned and looked great and clean clothes. And he had his bag on his shoulder like 45 minutes early. I'm like, when are we leaving? He says, oh, no, we're not leaving for a while, but I just want to be ready. Are you going to be ready for a long time? But he just mooned around. He looked like somebody punched him in the stomach the whole time.
Was he nervous?
He was very nervous.
Poor guy.
I don't understand how he could be nervous. He's done this over and over again.
It's a weird thing that it's new and it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's, and it, I don't know. I told Jacob, that was the other thing I told him. I said, I cried every day for the first day of school until I was about in fourth or fifth grade.
Right.
I was a pansy of a kid. I mean, until my stepbrother got in, and I joke, but it's the God's honest truth. Until my stepbrother came in and started beating the shit out of me, I was a pansy of a child.
That's what turned it around for you?
Yeah, sort of. Maybe I complain about having a part-time job all the time.
Bust him in to give you a good slapping around every morning now.
29 hours? Fuck you. Pressure point number 22.
Right. So anyway. He said, he's had butterflies in his stomach. He said, Dad, I think I might throw up. I said, you're feeling.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Poor guy.
I made him. He asked for three eggs and two pieces of toast and proceeded to not eat any of it. He said, maybe you can have this. He said, I think I might throw up. And I said, this was my advice to him, or this is how I let him help him cope with it. I just said, yeah, it sucks. I got nothing for him. His mother gets up every day, doesn't want to go to work. All she wanted to do was get back to work. Now she's back into eight and get now up and go to work. It. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, you're doomed.
It is a hard thing. I find myself thinking about that a lot, that it seems like it's a hard thing to get up in the morning and go through the routine, even for kids and even for us. Like, that's the one thing miserable as I am as a person, I guess, in my humor, I've been fortunate enough to be able to find the joy in the things that I do for the most part.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm very curious because I'm more excited about this job than I ever was about doing stand-up, as crazy
That's
as it
great.
Sounds. And it makes me very happy, but it's inevitable. It's an inevitable fact that one day this will be boring to me and it will be a job. That's what I've done. That's the downside to, you know, there are people who are, say, an accountant, and not that being an accountant isn't enjoyable or isn't bad, but is, how to say this? There are people who want to do it, but it's usually like, it's just a job. You know what I mean? Very few people are passionate about it. It's a thing you go to have a paycheck, is I think what I'm trying to say here. And the funny thing is that, for the guy who goes out and tells jokes for a living, eventually that becomes a job.
Right.
And it's no different. You know, I have a story here that I'm going to pull up that I found online. I do this from time to time where you find those things that, you know, people do amazing things. It's like when we were talking to Greg Daniels, and I'm like, I just can't wrap my mind around how is it that you are so fine with everything that everything is magical in his life.
Right.
And all that stuff. And it is a rough thing. Did he come back and he was like, I don't know what I was freaked out about? Or is it like day two, just as nervous?
Well, no. When I picked him up at the end of the day, he came out and said, Dad, senior year is awesome.
Crushed it.
Yeah. He was very excited by the time he got back in the car. And although he did tell me it was early pickup. So I went over there too. And then he texted me and said, no. Regular
pickup. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Oh, the parents excited about the transition from kindergarten. I have never seen grown-ass people more excited about 45 minutes in their fucking life. And even saying that out loud makes me so happy. Like,
I can see your face is glowing.
I had a great day at work.
Yeah.
I'm excited about the fact that my kid would already be home by now for a half hour, but I got 20 minutes before I got to pick his ass up.
Right. Hell, they'd have interrupted three times by now.
Exactly. Those fuckers are gone. Everybody's so happy, right?
Yes.
So happy. Yes, that's right, everybody. The kids are back in school. It's time for you to go home on your lunch break. Get a little afternoon delight. Meet up.
Yeah.
Fuck your brains out with the one you love. Make it happen. Captain crushing it. Buckle up for some sexy time during the day. Kids aren't coming home for 6 hours at least. Stay-at-home moms and dads, just work your own genitals. Just work them over like Daniel-san waxes a car. I don't know. Paint the defense on yourself all day. That's all I got. So what else has happened? PTA audit went down. I know I talked a little bit about that, but that's bananas, man. That is – I talked about how I had to kind of feel like – I had to play it by ear to see how serious do I take this.
Yeah.
Well, then nobody had the answers. Everybody is new in PTA. This whole PTA bureaucracy is kind of horseshit in my opinion.
Yeah.
You build this thing with all these fucking rules and bylaws. They use the word bylaws in PTA. Why do we as humans have to dance around fucking assholes and idiots all the time to make things more difficult, to make it safe? Why can't you just say, you know what, Selena, you're being a bitch and just shut the fuck up and bake some cookies for the bake sale, all right? Okay, I feel like that person should always be the PTA president. But instead, what you usually get is somebody who's like, you know, oh, well, we got to do that. Everybody do the, I motion to do this and I motion to do that. And now we have and then there's a rotation that happens because it's inevitable that your kids grow up. So we have a lot of people who don't really know what they're doing. And I said, well, this is what we need for the audit. And they're like, oh, okay, okay, you know. And then they give me everything like 2 days before it's supposed to be done.
Right.
Like I'm a guy who has time for that garbage. I barely have time for my own life.
Yeah.
Let alone, and that's what I want to spend it doing, is balancing somebody else's fucking paycheck. Now, having said all that, I'm the guy who volunteered for this job.
Well, I was going to say.
I didn't sign up for it.
I think you were elected against your will.
No, I was not. But here, I finally found that story. This is, to me, this is amazing to get to that point where it's like even – this guy will have a joyless part of his life.
Yeah.
Nicholas Anderson says he was at the right place at the right time.
It was his idea.
Brighton, Deanna's son, and Nick worked together to plan the perfect proposal for his mom. Brighton thought Sausalito's was the best place.
I didn't know anything about the proposal.
Nick and Brighton's perfect proposal plans were put on hold.
Never thought for a second that that would happen.
In the last month, Sausalito's has been robbed twice. Monday was almost the third, the very same day Nick planned to propose.
The manager came to the door and locked the door. The guy behind the manager pushed him out of the way and unlocked the door.
That's when Nick jumped in to save the day, pulling the culprit back into the restaurant. He put him in a chokehold, and within seconds, he was out cold.
It happened really quick. He knew how to take, you know, control of the situation.
After all that, Nick had to propose, and Deanna still had no clue. So after the small kink in Nick and Brighton's proposal plans, they moved to Plan B, Winkler Park.
After all of that happened, asking her to marry me wasn't near as bad.
In the end, Deanna said yes.
Now, hopefully you stayed tuned during that entire minute and didn't wander off into your head, because to me, this is mind-blowing. This is a man who is about to propose. Let me backtrack. First off, he's going to propose to a woman, but he's proposing at, like, essentially not quite Taco Bell, but not quite like your local family-owned Mexican food restaurant.
Right.
It is in a strip mall. It is like
Baja Fresh.
Yeah, I don't know. Is Baja Fresh like everywhere? That's what I was worried about. I think Rubio's is another kind of like...
Well, that's sit-down. Yeah, Baja is
still... Oh, Rubio's is sit-down?
I think it is.
Oh, crap. Well, anyway, it's not horrible, but it's not nice. And this is where this guy is going to propose to his girlfriend. At no point in the story did it say, this is where we met.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is, and so there's a part of me that's like, oh my gosh, why would you want to propose there? Like, how do you think? And then, as if this man is touched by God himself to save him from the horrible story. I mean, really, if you want to talk about sliders or quantum leap or whatever, you know, fictional time travel you experience or believe in.
Yeah.
Imagine if this guy does not come in and try and rob this place, and he actually proposes to his girlfriend in a shitty Mexican restaurant at a strip mall, and then she's like, what the, and then leaves. How the turn his life takes, number one. No, okay. Yeah. So now he's like sitting there. We've all been there where he's like, oh, geez, I got to ask her. He's nervous.
Yeah. He probably feels the same way you did on the first day.
The heat I felt in my torso, I've never felt in my life. I swear to I honestly think if I did not focus on breathing, I would have passed out, which would have also been a hilarious story.
Yes.
For if they would have kept me there, the ribbing I would have taken forever. My nickname would have been Fainty or something, or Falls Down. I don't know. I didn't have time to spit
punch that up.
Yeah. We'll fix it in post.
Yeah.
But so he's there, and the guy comes in. And then the badassness, though, of this guy. Like, he's so badass. Not badass enough to find a decent place to propose to his girl, but so badass, like, that she said, let me see if I could find the spot. Because she said he knew how to take control.
Nicholas had to propose, and Deanna still had no clue. So after the small kink in Nick and Brighton's proposal...
No, it's here.
You know, control of the situation.
After all that happened
really quick. He knew how to take, you know, control of the situation.
Do you hear what she's saying there? He's saying he knew how to take control of the situation.
It happened really quick. He knew how to take, you know, control of the situation.
Hear that hesitation that she has in her voice? He knew how to...
Take control of the situation.
I think Mrs. Mexican food place likes a little rough play.
I think so.
I think she likes a little chokehold.
Well, as soon as I heard that quote, I said, "Oh yeah, she's ready."
I wish I could be this guy though. I would love for just somebody to come in to try and rob a place, and I'm the one who knows how to take control of the situation.
Yes.
Oh, that is bad acidness.
That means get two appetizers, right?
Yes, exactly. That's how you and I do it. We're the guys in the corner going, my nachos though. I can't. I can't just leave these.
Right.
Man, that sucks to be that, but it's dangerous in here. Like, I'll just stop eating for a moment. Or maybe he won't notice if I just business as usual and keep shoveling nachos into my face. I could talk the guy down, maybe, if that, by boredom.
Right.
But it's funny to me is that also he had the plan B. Did you have a plan B when you proposed?
Oh, no. It was already a foregone conclusion. It was a formality when I proposed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She's pregnant.
Well, there was a shotgun involved. Yeah, really. No. It was one of these things where we sort of decided to do it and never mind. This is talking about stories nobody wants to hear.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
I mean, I will tell it at some point if people really want me to, but.
Don't hold it over our heads. Wow.
And I'll tell it if you're not good.
He tells it only upon request, everyone. Wow. Look at that. This must be a solid story. But I like, he could take control.
It happened really quick. He knew how to take, control of the situation.
Yeah, he does, Mama. And has a plan B for proposing. Now, to me, this is like Tom.
Not plan B in case she says no, but just plan B in case it doesn't come off the way I want it to.
I guess. I don't know. I just never – I feel like he kind of – maybe he decided even on the fly, and maybe the news guy just said it was, well, this will be plan B, because he says that he's like, I didn't want this. This is now not going to – it's going to taint him.
Work.
I go, bullshit. I fucking get that guy in a chokehold and then
– Do it right there.
Do it right there.
Take control of the situation, motherfucker.
Would you like this to be your forever? Would you like to tap out like this guy is right now? Safe word is Helvetica, bitch. Make you my forever, girl. And so you go, but the whole thing about this is that this guy is going to, he does this thing, saves a guy, like saves a rob, stops a robbery.
Yeah.
Proposes at an alternative, which also, by the way, plan B, much better than plan A, right? Nice part.
Oh, yeah.
Much better than chain strip mall Mexican
yes,
food place.
Yes.
And I feel bad. Here's what's happening. Clearly, I'm insecure,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going after this guy because I think if I blow out his candle, mine will burn brighter, and I'm jealous of his ability to take control of a situation,
yes.
and I can't, I'm not comfortable with it. I feel like I'm visualizing him taking control of my situation,
sure.
and I have no choice in the matter.
Yeah.
And but all I can do that will help me sleep at night is I know that even this poor son of a bitch is going to get nagged on by this woman. At some point, she's going to forget the fact that he stopped a fucking robbery.
Oh, yeah.
To propose to and propose to her still. And yet still it's going to be like, you think that trash is going to take out itself?
Take control of that situation.
No, stop it. Don't push my head down. I don't like it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Got dark.
Well, that's not dark. Come on, a little fillet, a little whoa, 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 down, 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 wow. Yeah. Take control of my situation,
well,
there, Mama.
As long as she's still the fiance, maybe.
If you like it, you better put a ring on it, fellas. All right, you said you had a news thing?
Oh, it's just a very little
thing. I work
thing.
For a news radio station.
I understand. You probably already saw
so
this.
If I do critique this, it's not intentional. It's hard for me to punch
well,
out.
Well, here's the thing. No, you're welcome to. You may have already decided this isn't worth the trip, but here's the thing. I've heard a lot lately about being a stay-at-home dad and having a part-time job at the same time. And
are you talking about for me or in the world?
About
okay,
for you.
Good. Okay, I just
for you.
Sure.
No, but then I thought, oh, well, here's a story about a kindred spirit.
Oh, my kindred
spirit? Yeah, a kindred spirit for you. There's a guy, 66 years old, just had his second daughter.
Holy crap. Billy Joel?
Billy Joel. Absolutely. And what he says here is, I don't have a regular job. I could be a stay-at-home dad for as long as I can stay alive.
What?
He's saying he can spend more time with this kid than most men do because he doesn't have a regular job. He works once a month at the Madison Square Garden. That is a part-time job.
That's all he's got to do.
And he can keep doing it as long as he can stay alive. So you're not the only guy who's doing both and showing it off.
All right. So I get what you're saying. I'm basically the same on a talent level as Billy Joel.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
I am the piano man,
yes,
but funnier.
Absolutely.
Is Billy Joel funny, you think?
No, he's not.
I don't think so.
He, he makes his jokes in the concert and whatnot.
It's interesting. You think if Billy Joel sat in a room with you and I cracking yuck-yucks and having a good time, do you think he would be intimidated and insecure? Or is it like, I feel like something about being a musician and, you know what I mean, just banging supermodels left and right.
Well, there is that.
But what if it's possible that he has a void that cannot be filled?
I'm not sure I want to touch that, but here's the thing.
Want to take control of that situation?
I would be in a hard position there because I would be in the presence of two of my greatest idols.
Me and Billy Joel.
You and Billy Joel. I used to think he was the top, and then I met you, and now he's just a second banana now for me. But
you know, until we did this episode, I didn't know how hard it was for you to be in the room with me. What time is it? I got to pay attention to time. I'm having a lot of fun. It's a good show. It's a good, solid show. Yeah. All right, let's go. Who's most likely to give parents terrible advice? So they did a survey.
Oh, mothers-in-law.
To find out, most common people who dish out terrible, unsolicited parenting advice. Check them out. Go ahead.
Podcast hosts.
I wish. Wouldn't that be great if that actually made the list? Jack Hole podcaster and his part-time job. Number four. I'm shocked.
That character on Handel's show. Bring that out.
Nailed it. That's all I say. call him Mr. Handel so we could talk about how his father's Mr. Handel and his father's dead. He did that to me off the air too before and I forgot. Your own mother. 12% people say that your own mother gives you horrible parenting. And this is, I think, kind of a weird thing where, because I met what I thought to be very nice people at a show that I was doing, I think somewhere in Missouri, I want to say, a long time ago. And what I thought was really funny about it was that they came up to me after the show and they said, our daughter just had her first kid. Because I had that joke about if there are grandparents here, and I said, it's like we're playing craps, and that it takes 30 years before you find out if you parented correctly or not.
Right.
And they came up to me and they said we were watching the daughter so they could have a date night, and they asked us if they had any questions, we had any questions.
Right.
And it is a weird thing where it seems wildly condescending to kind of be like, you know, parenting's changed a lot. I mean, it has, but it's like, these are different human beings than what you raised with me. And it's like, do you want me to teach you how to do it right now that I've nailed it in 2 weeks? Like, it's a weird thing. But for all I know, to me, I was like, oh, yeah, your daughter's kind of a bitch for thinking that. Like, that's kind of jacked up. For all I know, these people are horrible parents. Yeah, it's because they look nice.
Right. Right. Well, my own mother has been very supportive recently. We've been going through some trials at my house, and she has made sure that she said repeatedly to me that whatever the problems that we're having with the kids may be, I should not blame myself.
Aww.
Which only translates to me that she should not blame herself for the fucked up things she did.
Wow. It hurt my neck a little on the whiplash on that one. That turned around on me real quick.
Well, I've been very thankful and generous back to her for her support. But inside I'm going, now, hang on a second.
Yeah, it is like a meta level cop out. Like,
yeah, right.
I never would have thought of it.
My mom's telling me,
kids, can't hold me accountable. You know, don't hold yourself accountable for your screw ups. And by that, I mean me too. Yeah.
She's like, kids can be impossible. You know, hang on a second.
She just keeps going. I mean, they're just fucking horrible. Am I right? Just miserable. Just ruin your life.
It's this kind of conversation we have, but you can't have it with your parent because then you go, wait a minute, you're talking about me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's funny. I am an idiot, but I've had those kind of conversations with my father, and that's what's funny, where it's like, they're pains in the ass, right? Yeah. My father and I have become too friendly, and I've forgotten I'm his son. A random stranger, 14%. Now, here's what is interesting about what you said. Also at 14%, your mother-in-law. So your mother-in-law is just as hated as a random stranger, but 25% say random family members. Mm. Now, I'm assuming random means like two removed, like a cousin of some kind or something like that. And I talk a lot about parenting because it's so much a part of my life. And sometimes I worry that I'm that guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't tell people what they should be doing. I just have opinions and I talk like what I do on the show. Like, I just talk about my opinions. But I wonder if I am possibly a random family member or acquaintance. And like, I wish this guy would fucking shut up about telling his kids to get a job. Here's something that we recently dealt with, and I know we've talked about this a little bit before, because Jacob lost a tooth. The Tooth Fairy is now giving $3.19 per tooth, down 24 cents from last year.
Oh, so evidently, the recession.
Yeah, there's a recession in teeth, too.
Yeah, I didn't realize. Even that is pretty high,
I wish I would have read this about 2 weeks ago when Jacob lost a tooth. He said something hilarious. He goes, he said, here, because my mom, when he was with him and then he lost his tooth, my mom accidentally counted ones and she meant to count five, but I guess missed one, so there was six.
Yeah.
And so he opened it up, he goes, I got $6 this time! And it was his second tooth.
Oh my God. So
thankfully, he doesn't understand like Fibonacci sequence or anything like that, you know what I mean? Like... And so, because it was like, and my parents thought it was hilarious because they thought it like, what if it screws my dad? Loved, anything to screw me is hilarious to him. Like now I have to pay more. But he brought, it's funny you think that they forget that stuff. He goes, and he brought it up. He goes, his tooth fell out. And he said, and then he goes, you know, here I get $5, but at the warehouse I get $6. Evidently, we're also paying more in real estate. Like, it's like California teeth are way more expensive than the national average, which is bullshit. Here's the rest of it. Looks like the black market for baby teeth isn't as lucrative as it used to be, although it's still a lot more lucrative than when we were kids. Visa just released the results of its annual Tooth Fairy study and found that kids are getting an average of $3.19 per tooth this year. That's down 24 cents from last year. That means a kid will get about $64 total for all their baby teeth. That's interesting.
Yeah. Now, hang on a second. I've got so many things are popping in my head right now. First of all, Visa, the credit card company?
Yeah.
What are these kids taking in credit? Yeah, why is Visa getting involved?
You're not putting cash into your kid's pillow, are you?
That's the mistake I'm making.
Yeah, you don't do that.
Here's the other thing. You know how you have the...
how will they learn to spend their life in debt and miserable?
Good point.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's right. You got to get them ready. You know those sort of payday loan places where you know you're going to get a check? An ambitious kid go, look, I've got a bunch of teeth in here. They're all going to come out eventually. So how about the $60 now? I'll tell you what, I'll do it $50 now. You'll get your teeth.
The interest rate on a tooth advance is insane. Oh, that's funny. The most common amount that kids get for a tooth is $1, but 20% get $5 per tooth. That's us. And 5% get $20 or more, which bumps up the overall average. And finally, spoiler alert on the Tooth Fairy's real identity. When dad handles the tooth... Oh, this is interesting. When dad handles the Tooth Fairy duties instead of mom... The kid cashes in. Dad's give an average of $3.63. Mom's give an average of $2.87.
I'm thinking of pulling some of my teeth. It could be my part-time job.
$64.
Yeah, teeth. Listen.
The 11 most... Let's see,
I could put together one of those massages for that amount. I could go to the... Never mind. I didn't have enough of the words to make a joke happen.
You deflated like a balloon. Is that what just happened?
Yeah.
The 11 most common things women call their breasts. Does Luna have a term for her breasts?
No, I was going to try to come up with a joke, but I couldn't think of anything.
You don't always have to tell a joke. You can just say truth.
No.
You can just say nope.
I think she calls them leave it. I think that's what she calls it.
There you go. It landed. Paco, everybody. He found it, everybody.
Thank you very much.
She calls the left one leave it and the right one not now.
Right.
So their middle names are I'm sleeping. Their full name is, you know, some of us have to work tomorrow.
That's right. That's their Christian name.
That's funny. Leave it. I just like the idea. I like the idea of you, like, super creepy Paco, like, coming at her, like, with your hands going for two, like, leave it. And, like, she's slapping your like you're a dog.
I don't know how I became super creepy Paco.
That's what happened in my head. I'm sorry. I don't mean it intentionally.
I would understand if it
not
was
creepy. I guess just, like, juvenile.
Your wife.
Juvenile. Okay, like, yeah. Juvenile is like, here I come. I don't know why you're Rusty the Clown.
Honk, honk. That's why.
I do voices now. A new survey asked women what the word they usually use when they're talking about their breasts, and like you'd expect, the answers were all over the map. Here are the 11 most common terms. Number 11, jugs. I like the idea. What?
All over the map because women do not have a sense of direction. That's why.
Hey, come on, Paco, swing it again, everybody.
Jugs?
So Jessica in the chat room was saying, leave it, rolling on the floor laughing. It is funny. Leave it. No. You know what sucks about having so many moms that listen to the show? There are moments where I think we really nail it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like, and I don't, maybe it's just me being a stupid guy.
Okay.
But I think there's moments when we nail it. Like, what if there's a chance? I know it's very remote, and I'll be honest. I started to think that this was happening, and now I'm backpedaling very fast. That's the cold, hard truth. But I started to be like the – oh, geez. People Holy are cow. Calling me. The but my point is that – I wait, 1:48. Okay, I'm good. I got to go soon, though. For a second, I'm like, what if that's the school or like, hey, can you come pick up your kid, asshole? I started to think, like, what if there are things that we do that kind of get – like, I feel like when we talk about yoga pants and stuff, that the ladies – and they should. All the ladies that listen – I don't say this jokingly. This is not a bit. They are very hot, the ladies that listen to the show. They, you know, that kind of gets them in the mood. Like, there has to be at least one guy out there. Yeah. You know what I mean? At least one. In the thousands of people that listen. One guy who's like – I really started getting fucking laid a lot when she started listening to the show. Even he doesn't even listen. You know what I mean?
Right.
But so here's the thing. But then what we just did was unintentionally is also gave her a funny bit to make herself laugh. And now I'm making it even worse where a guy comes out like, hey, like he makes a move. Leave it. Like she just swats at him anytime he tries to make a move. Sorry, that was not anyway.
That's
number,
okay.
What I was gonna say about Jugs, I feel like Jugs has a cup size. Now I don't judge boobs.
Oh,
okay,
a,
I'm not a guy
a
who's
call.
Like, listen, don't even look at me if you don't have anything less than a
right.
C cup. That's
but,
not me.
Look,
all boobs are great.
Natalie is Jugs, Luna's teacups. I mean, let's just.
Well, Natalie doesn't have Jugs. I feel like a Jug has to be like full blown D. I would imagine.
Okay.
I guess I don't know.
But I think you're thinking like a milk jug.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right?
Like a
It has to be a quart of breast. You know what
okay.
I mean? Like if I could translate its volume into ice cream and I ate all of it in one sitting, it would make me shameful rather
yes.
than aroused.
But I find just that word is mildly as a mildly offensive word.
Yeah.
It surprises me that women
the women
are,
would use it.
You know what? I'd like to meet those women.
Right?
Actually. Yeah.
Let's find them on eHarmony. Knockers. I'm a fan of knockers.
Yeah,
I think that's a
good
solid
one.
Melons.
Yeah.
I'm on the fence about melons. I don't like puppies. Is the next one? Puppies are cute and all, but that's also weird. My friends, very weird to me.
She might have a little too much chest hair. If she's calling them puppies.
Puppies. That's true. That's a little Armenian situation. Eastern European going
he
on.
He said it. I didn't.
Yep. There's no Armenians that listen to the show. my friends, that's weird, you know, because it also sounds Armenian. My friend.
Oh, my friend, yes.
The twins.
I've heard the twins before.
I don't like the twins. I think that's too childlike, you know what I mean? Unless you've had twins, I feel like, or maybe, I don't know. I think it either has to be, there has to be bylaws, because I'm in the PTA now. And the bylaws need to either state that if you have twins, you can, or... If you don't have twins, then it's okay. If it's weird if you have twins to call your breast twins,
I understand.
You know what I mean?
Somewhere tucked in the pages of a paperback book at my house is a photograph of my ex-girlfriend I haven't seen for many years. I was dating
Nude?
Her for like 7 years, where she's in public, she's flashing the camera. Now, she had some jugs on her.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right now.
Twins?
A couple of knockers. And it says on the back, it's written, love so-and-so. I can't think of a fake name for her. love, whatever. Her and the twins.
Wow.
So she was calling them twins herself in that case. So I have photographic evidence.
Can you imagine if Luna finds that book, like randomly decides to read it and goes, what the fuck is this?
Luna doesn't read.
The God, Paco's swinging again and connects. Taking everybody down today.
It's all
the girls.
Kindle.
I like
Kindle
the girls.
All the time.
I'm a fan of the girls. I don't know.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
I have some kind of. I don't think I am, but maybe deep down I kind of want a menage a trois kind of thing.
Sure.
But I like the girls. I'm okay with that. Breasts seems very clinical.
Yeah.
I don't like that. The T.O. They say this because this is written for a radio. The tits. The tit. They say the. Oh, they say the T word, which is tits. I like tits.
Uh huh.
I think tits are good.
Yeah, it's a solid.
Boobies. I think or boobs is number one. So
right,
all right. We got to. We'll do one more story.
And
then
if we weren't running behind, I would carry on our previous words for penis conversation. We could probably come up with another few of those.
We don't go have back
time
and
for
forth.
It. Yeah, right.
I couldn't sweater muffins.
I bow to you on this one.
Chesticles. Paco, by the way, texted me, and I didn't have time to respond, but it made me laugh very hard. He just randomly sent me some word for dick, which was hilarious.
Oh, yes.
That was a long time ago. six lies parents tell their kids so they'll stop asking for things. I love this. This is more of a resource than it is just for content for the show.
Yes.
It's great when kids are at that age where they'll believe anything you tell them. If only they'd stay that young and dumb forever. Here are six lies parents have actually told their kids to get them to behave, calm down, or stop asking for things. Have you ever lied to your kids? I don't think I lied to them. One time my therapist said, you know, you don't have to be so honest with your kids.
That's funny. I'm sure I have lied to my kids.
Number six, Chuck E. Cheese is only for birthday parties. You have to be invited to go there. This stuff makes me way more happy than it should. That is so awesome.
Oh, God.
I love it because I can easily wrap my mind around telling that lie.
Sure.
At the same time, it's just so great to be able to just see a kid go, really, man? calamari is Italian onion rings. That one's kind of lame. They don't sell replacement batteries for that toy. Oh, this isn't soda. It's black water. You wouldn't like it.
Oh, my God.
These are awesome. I'm so glad I printed this. I had no time to prep for this show, so I literally came home, walked out here, and started doing the show. If you don't behave in the McDonald's drive-thru, you get a sad meal instead of a happy meal. I like that one. But still, so far, my favorite is this isn't soda. It's black water. You wouldn't like it. That is, I want that on a bumper sticker. If the ice cream truck is playing music, it means they ran out of ice cream. That is the worst thing I've ever heard because it makes no sense. They advertise that they're out of ice cream.
Right, right.
Why does he drive so slow? He's stupid. He's stupid. Because one would assume that he would turn the music off and just drive to go get more ice cream.
But right, right.
No, the car actually operates slower.
It's a way of letting
slower.
You know that there's nothing
yeah,
in there.
It's slower when it's empty.
We have a few things we need to bring up from the chat room. One
yes.
is from Jessica. No, not Jessica. Who? Fun bags. Somebody said fun bags.
Fun bags is great.
This is going back to
Did
boobs.
I say chesticles already?
You did.
That's
and
a good
what
one.
Your Drew says, Justin just made boobs boring. How do you do that?
How dare you, Butcher Drew?
It's not all compliments, people.
How
Sometimes
did I,
we have to tell the truth.
How did I make boobs boring?
I don't know. I thought that was delightful.
Yeah. Everything I do is delightful.
Exactly.
Get the fuck out of my chat room.
You know what he is.
Everybody get
Hang
off
on.
That damn
It was
fan
Butcher
page.
Drew.
Huh?
All right, all right, all right.
No, I was looking for the other drop.
Oh, that's right.
Asshole.
There we go.
Fuck
now
you,
all's
Butcher
right with
Drew.
The world.
And the horse you rode in on. You're lucky I like you. All right, I got to go. I got to go get my kids.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I'm sorry for the somewhat quickie episode. Thank you, Jessica. Why is a mom? This is but Jessica's a mom in the chat room saying boobs aren't boring, and I don't understand it. Nobody can make them boring, even if you think I am that uninteresting. Not really mad. Never will be.
No.
Send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Here's the thing. I think Tuesdays at 12:30 will be our new time to start recording, 12:30 Pacific. We can't do the 10 a.m. for at least 3 weeks, and that's if I don't get the job. If I do get the job, then we will not be able to do it at 10 a.m. indefinitely.
Listen, people, just consult your 8-ball, your magic 8-ball.
Here's the reason I'm bringing this up, is that
yeah.
we now we have well over 100 followers. I think we broke 100 last week on MixLR, which is the streaming
awesome.
Service that we use. It's got a free app and all that stuff, and they finally brought back their ability to schedule broadcasts. So what it'll give me the ability to do is I can schedule our calendar out like maybe a week or two, and then you can actually see when it's coming up, and I think it may even give you a different kind of alert or something to give you a heads up that we're about to go live on this day.
I better get that, because sometimes I'm not sure whether
you don't know if you're supposed
not.
To be here.
I got here and the lights were out and the door was closed, and I went, wait a minute.
I literally just walked in the door and was telling my wife about my day because she was home for lunch, but blah blah blah. MixLR.com/dadpodcast. Get the free app, and all of that is great. Rachel Gibbs, send in your questions. We're going to be talking to her soon, and she's launching her own podcast. That's also coming up.
It's very exciting.
If I haven't said it already, say Saint, or let me say what it's for first. If you want to join the Dad Podcast Fantasy Football League, you need to send an email to our friend Chris Saint. Just like the football team Saint, 27@msn.com, and say you'd like to join the Fantasy Football League. He politely and kindly and awesomely runs our Fantasy Football League, so definitely do that. All of our social media stuff is in the description of this episode right now, and tell three people about the show so we can keep continuing to grow. And Paco's going to tell you about our Amazon banner.
I knew you were going to throw it to me, sir, and so here I am ready to do it. What you have to do is you have to go to the Dad Podcast website. Dad Podcast website. Another drink, please. And
nailed it.
Scroll down to the bottom. There you're going to see the Amazon banner. When you click on that banner, it's going to take you on through to Amazon. And you're going to shop. You're going to browse. You're going to look. You spend an awful lot of time there. But eventually, you're going to buy something because everybody needs something. And when you do, a little bit of money is going to come this way. It costs you nothing extra. It means the world to us. And I know you're going to do it because you love us. Thank you.
all the chat room chatter about boobs is making me want to rename the show. Also fitting, giving the fact that it is my podcast, the Boob Cast.
Yeah,
that way you kind of figure out, is he talking about tits or is it just because he's an idiot? We don't know. On behalf of Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, all you fantastic people who are able to listen live, this is Justin Worsham saying, hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, everybody.